I wasn't made to sit behind a desk to work 9 to 5. I'm a creative.
Right. How are you going to address this problem?
I don't know. Someone out there, please hire me to be your creative director, social media person. Speaking of, if anyone wants to pay us to do this podcast, we are looking for sponsors. I'm thinking M&S. Nice little hamper. Like, oh, you're watching reality TV. Have a little hamper of some snacks.
Well, I've got a bit of a bone to pick with M&S. And this is going to lose our sponsorship straight away. But I was in there just before Christmas getting some bits, some nice food bits. Someone, a child, was walking around the aisles with a cow toy that kept going, but it was so annoying. I'm sat in M&S trying to do my shopping.
Yeah, but that's not M&S's fault.
Well, actually, I think it is. They could do something about that and ask that customer to leave because people are... It's expensive. I want the good shopping experience when I go to M&S.
Do M&S still do those Colin the Caterpillar squashed in a jar?
The Colin the Caterpillar trifle things.
It's like in a jar. It's like a cake, but squashed in a jar. I saw them, never tried one, but I want one. So if anyone... What happened to you this week? Something happened and I was like, save it for the pod. Tell me.
God, it's just been one of them weeks.
Something about chicken?
Something about chicken. Oh, we had a chicken dilemma. There was no chicken in the fridge.
Was that it?
Yeah. So I had to go to Morrison's and get chicken at like 8 o'clock at night.
Right?
I didn't want to go to Morrison's.
Look, if that's your dilemma of the week that I've been on the edge of my seat waiting to hear about, you want to get a bloody life, darling.
No, but I've had another dicky stomach.
Right.
This time it's not ski yogurts.
What is it?
It's...
Is it the chicken from Morrison's?
No, it's my Chinese takeaway last night.
Oh, here we go.
Because it's my birthday weekend.
Oh, here we bloody go. Well, no, this goes out on your birthday. It does. Happy bloody birthday.
Thank you. 30. Dirty, 30, thriving.
Oh, shut up.
Striving. got it. My housemate got me a little Chinese takeaway on Friday night. And I felt really funny after it. I only had a tray of chips, rice and curry sauce.
Only?
Yeah. And some
prawns. Fat bastard.
Some prawns.
Fancy another pod with Bally Singh and Brett Harris. A Gaydio original podcast.
Right. Welcome to Fancy Another Pod, episode 3. Look, I can't believe we've done 3 weeks of this shit.
3 weeks.
And you know what? I know we're like covering the traitors at the moment, but we did try our best to endure an episode of Dancing on Ice. Oh my God. It wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't. Do you know what? I actually like Stephen Mulhern, controversially.
Oh, do you feel Holly Willoughby hates him? Like, I feel really? She's like, get out of my life. What has happened in my life to be enduring this? You can just see it on her face.
She deserves better. I actually think Holly could go away and do some really nice groundbreaking, like, documentaries.
Yeah,
following the Davina path now.
Yeah, get her in some, like, cargoes, send her to the Sahara. You know, God. Something like that.
Jesus.
No, but, like, I could see her in, like, a hot weather climate doing some documentary about birds. I don't know.
Right. So Holly Willoughby's the next David Attenborough.
I can just see her in khaki with binoculars doing something.
Well, I did think that Ricky Hatton would be pretty fearless on Dancing on Ice, and you were right.
Look, he's off. Hannah Spirit was good.
To be honest, I dipped in and out.
I liked her energy.
But look, we're struggling to find things to say.
We did watch Love Island.
Yes,
but
Love Island.
It did clash with the traitors on Wednesday, so I haven't watched it since Tuesday.
I know. Now, the ratings for Love Island All Stars have kind of bombed. It's getting less viewers than the traitors spin-off podcast.
Well, I know. And also, ITV were bloody tweeting about the traitors while the Biden was on. They've given up.
That's it, darling. Too much of a good thing, I think. Just do one good series of Love Island a year. We've had Messy Mitch clashing with Lewis already. And it just feels like everyone's a bit aware. They're obviously all in the same sort of circles. They go to the same events. They're all friends. So it feels like everyone's just being a bit polite. It's like sending everyone from our place of work to an island. No one's going to sit there and crack pretend. On. Yeah.
Well, we saw Callum and Molly come in as the bombshells.
Oh, come they only, off it. Come look, off this now.
They only split up in September. And September was the month where they would have got their contracts for the series of Love Island. I think it's fake. I think it's bollocks.
They are needing a little bit of cash. And good luck to him. Look, good luck to him.
They're going to get together.
It for the money. They're going to earn a few bob. Good luck to him.
He's going to propose to her.
Do you think?
Yep. It's a PR stunt. They want to be the next Molly May and Tommy whatever his name is.
Oh, come off it. Before we get into all the traitors, we need to talk about Drag Race UK versus the World Season 2. It's coming!
I can't wait.
Going to be good, innit?
Who are you rooting for off the bat?
Ooh, I think it's going to be Tia. I think she's going to do it. I think she's going to be good. And
apparently, Tia hates everyone talking about her glow up. But you can't... Come on, Tia Bab. Come on, darling. You look absolutely ravishing.
Yeah, she's stunning. We've got a couple of the cast members here. From Spain. Arantia Castellamanca. I don't speak Spanish.
Look, I haven't watched any of the franchises apart from the UK and US ones.
Well, she came seventh in the first season of Drag Race España.
Okay.
And eliminated in episode 4.
It's good though that they're including like the other franchises because before we only had US and kind of Canada really.
Yeah. So Hannah Conda from Australia.
Season 1.
Finalist on season 2 of Drag Race Down Under. She's won 3 consecutive challenges including the snatch game.
Okay.
Ketta Minaj from Holland.
That's a good name.
A very good name. They made it all the way to the semi-finals in season 2 of Drag Race Holland.
I think this is going to be a really good series. I've got a feeling.
Yeah, I do. La Grande Dame from France. She was a finalist on the first season of Drag Race France. Marina Summers, finalist in the first season of the Philippines version of Drag Race.
Okay. Oh, it's a really good mix of, franchises then.
Versus the world, really, this time. Mayhem Miller from the USA Drag Race, star of season 10. We've got Scarlet Envy, also from America, from season 11. And she's also been in season 6 of All Stars. There's Gothy Kendall from the UK. Theresa May. Very excited about Theresa. Yeah. Just her brand of chaos. I can't wait for her to just storm into that workroom.
We need to get Theresa on the pod.
Get her on the pod. And Jombas Blonde. Very excited for Jombas.
I really love Jombas. I love them. So I'm really excited for
Jombas
them
Jombas is great. Can't wait. Right, that's all the other reality stuff. The one that everyone's talking about. It reached 4.4 million viewers on Thursday night. Let's talk traitors.
Oh, what a show. BAFTA week winning.
God.
Honestly, I didn't think it could get any better, but it seemed to have topped itself.
Like, Steven Spielberg could never.
He wishes, darling.
James Cameron could never. Who? Quentin Tarantino.
He's out of a job.
Studio Lambert producing this series. They've just done such... an amazing, amazing show. I've never known TV in the last sort of 10 years. I've never known a show where it feels that everyone is watching it.
I also feel they know what they're doing. They know exactly what we want as a viewer. I feel they're very receptive to like social media and the commentary that everyone... They knew what was going to make a viral moment. They knew... Studio Lambert... Give him the BAFTAs, give him the NTA, give him the fucking Emmy.
Now, when we left the podcast last week, at the end of last week, we had Johnny, Brian and Anthony, all faithfuls that had been banished brutally from the castle.
Bless
him. Yeah, real sorry. Let's go through them. So we obviously had Johnny, really, really nice guy. I didn't see any traitor in him at all.
Yeah, because I don't feel like he did anything to warrant being a traitor. They probably just thought, nah. Don't know who else to pick. Let's just pick Johnny.
I know.
Very sad.
And then Brian. Sweet Brian.
Poor Brian.
Poor Brian. I loved Brian and I loved chatting with Brian as well. We'll play that in a minute.
I love his energy. Like, even now, like, while watching the show, like, he's filming himself watching it like a Gogglebox thing. If you haven't seen it, go and check his Instagram and TikTok. It's really funny watching him watch the show back.
And, of course, Anthony.
I loved Anthony. I really did.
He really turned a corner for you because you were a bit unsure ahead of the interview because of his clash with Jasmine.
Well, if you listened to last week's episode, I was like, I hate him. I can't believe you would talk to Jasmine like that. But then watching his reaction and just the way he enjoys the show, I was like, oh, okay, it's probably like really poor editing. He was really lovely.
This is our catch up with Johnny, Brian and Anthony from this week.
Fancy another pod with Bally Singh and Brett Harris, a Gaydio original podcast.
Brian, that exit. What happened?
I don't know. You tell me. Literally, I'm here for you to tell me, hopefully. I think I need some therapy or something. I need answers.
You got yourself so tangled in knots at the end. I think it's crazy how the effect of the game or the roundtable has on people.
Oh, definitely. I think the main thing for me was there's so many thoughts in my head that there was a lot of accusations that I had to defend, as well as me then having to suss out what everyone was saying and remember what people were saying that I had to like then bring up and put into my head and cross all the wires and have everything connected, that it was just like,
it was like you were guilty for no reason.
Yeah. But another thing as well, I hate being accused of stuff. Like in just in real life, I hate if something's happened, it's like, oh, that was probably Brian. Maybe this is, I think this is like therapy actually.
Get it off your chest.
Back in my childhood. Yeah, if I got accused of something, I'd be raging. I'd be so angry. I'd be like, no, it's not. It wasn't me, unless it was me, of course. So getting accused of stuff at the round table, I think that's what kind of maybe, I just felt like I had to fight my corner, even though it wasn't even that deep. Like, what was said about me, like, it was just very brief and then everyone moved on, whereas I was still like ruminating and hating it.
So do you have a guilty conscience then? So imagine being with you at a supermarket and the tag hasn't come off like a tin of beans or something. You get bleeped on the way out.
Sprinting, running, God.
We need to talk about the votes that they made in that challenge, because I feel that's had a massive part to play in the game, because obviously Paul was voted most popular and I think that's had a sway in how people are voting. But you were voted basically a sheep. Yeah. How did that affect your gameplay and how do you think it affected everyone's kind of perception of you?
It's funny because my idea, this has changed since the time. So, or my thought has went on a bit more. So at the time, I didn't really care. Like I was laughing at it. And I actually said during the challenge, I was like, it's me. Like, I've not really been inputting anything, but it's because it was my game plan. I think it then maybe struck a nerve with me a bit because it was my game plan, it was like almost like being called out. And I was like, well, I'll show you then. I'll go in and I'll talk and that sort of thing. So it's a bit frustrating because on the show, it's like I'm dead, like super annoyed about it. But I think it was more that I'd been called out, my gameplay had been called out as well. And it kind of spiraled into this thing. But yeah, I don't know.
Give up Anthony, everyone! Woo!
Hey.
I don't know how to feel actually, because I thought you were a really great character on the show, but also I can see why you're here.
It's a bit of both, Bally, isn't it? You know,
it is.
You know, unfortunately, you know, sometimes when you're a bit forthright, you know, yeah, it might not be great for the group dynamics, but you know what? I'll tell you what. It's a fabulous experience, you know, and I'm really glad to have been part of it.
From the get-go, it was Diane on your back. Even before anyone was even chosen as a traitor, she's like, he's a traitor. It's, hold on, Diane. Hold your horses. How did that make you feel?
I mean, in fairness, look, the way I look at it is we just simply got off on the wrong foot. I think actually we just had a personality clash, being both strong characters. You know, and we just got off on the wrong foot. So it may have raised her suspicions. However, we did have conversations, you know, and which where I clearly stated, I think, you know, we just got off on the wrong foot. So maybe let's work together, because one thing's for certain, we both realized very quickly that each other, that we were not traitors. It's such a high pressured situation. It really is, you know, that you're just clutching at anything. You're like, listen, please just don't let the heat turn on me, okay? All right, that kitchen's really hot. I'm trying to, you know, just survive in here. So what would happen is that people, they would just sort of hang on to anything. So, and things can change so quickly. So it's, as you saw with other competitors, sometimes it just affects you in different ways. Some people go to pieces. Some people, you know, they just remain really quiet. Some people you know, they might spout random things. It's just what it is, you know. And until somebody's been there, it's pretty difficult. So, you know, I've still got a lot of love and respect for all of the cast.
Got to see you go, actually, because around that round table, it did seem at one point you were going to just sneak out, but no one listened to Anthony. And then, even though people were kind of throwing the name Paul out there, they're just like, now that Johnny, how did that feel for you?
I must have come across in a way that everyone would know that I wouldn't take it personally if they voted for me. So I think there's a lot in there. You're scared to say anything because, you know, the minute you start mentioning names, people are going to look at you and they think, are you being a faithful? You're just trying to stir the pot and throw some names out. So I think there's a bit of that going on. So I think everyone saw the narrative of my name coming out and they just kind of, whoa, hurdled towards me. It was a surprise, obviously, but I did have my suspicions that it was going to go that way for me. I would just, the energy in the room, everything just changed. And I was like, what's happened? What have I done?
At that point, when you were voted out, did you suss out three people that you think could have been the traitors? Who did you think would have been the three traitors at that point, if you had to have guessed?
So I certainly had my eyes locked on Ross from the start. I don't know what it was, but, you know, me and Ross got on really well. And basically, I just turned on him, didn't I? I was like, I'm watching you after this. But it's just because I saw him kind of stirring the pot a lot and mentioning a lot of names. And he was he had a good influence on the others. And there was just something not sitting right with me. Obviously, we do know he had a secret. But it just wasn't the right secret. maybe that's what it was.
Let's speak about that secret. How did you react? Because a lot of the other people that we spoke to after leaving the show only found out at the same time as us. Did you find out the same time as the viewers did?
I found out probably about a week before everyone else did. And I had no idea. I don't know if it's the difference with the accents. It just, no one was looking at Ross and Diane and putting that connection together. I don't think anyone figured it out. So it was a massive surprise.
Fancy another pod with Bally Singh and Brett Harris. Megalia original podcast.
Aww.
Lovely lads.
So lovely. We need to talk about Wednesday's episode now. That was, I think... When I think about moments of reality TV that really stand out for me, it's Ollie Murs announcing the wrong person and then it being the right person on X Factor.
Yeah.
I think of iconic moments in Big Brother, Kim Woodburn going in like an absolute demon into the Celebrity Big Brother house. They're things that stand out for me. One thing that is now etched in my mind is a 60-minute state funeral for Diane.
And her leading the procession.
Oh, I know. It was when they were all sat there at breakfast and the camera cuts straight away to Claudia sat there with a veil across her face in front of four black horses like a Lloyd's TSB advert.
Scottish widow.
what a 60 minutes of TV.
I loved it. It was so, so good. Like, whoever thought of that challenge... Well, it wasn't even a challenge, was it? It kind of was a challenge.
Mm.
But... what a way to go. I know we were all gutted to see Diane go, and it was a sort of will she, won't she kind of thing throughout the whole episode. But that was the perfect send-off. Obviously, we have to talk about Ross going to his own mother's funeral.
Oh, that was so dark. Like, so traumatic.
So traumatic. Like, bless him. Like, he must have been going through all the feels. But another person who was probably going through all the feels was Miles, who was responsible... for killing Diane, giving her the poisonous chalice.
I struggled to look him in the eye when we were chatting to him, but
I love the word chalice.
Chalice.
I think I want one.
Are you coming to my birthday party? I'll get you a rosé and a chalice if you'd like.
Kill him.
I'll take this podcast for my own. Right, let's play our interview with Miles. Styles, everyone. Yay!
And fellow Brummy Bab, how you doing?
Fellow Brummy, you know, there's not many of us, so we're a dying breed,
Oh, Miles, what an adventure, what an end, what a dramatic show to, well, episode to go on.
No, well, you know, if you're going to go out with a bang, you know, to have a whole episode dedicated to my murder, basically, you know. So.
That was some episode. That was like BAFTA winning episode quality, I thought.
I'd like to thank my family, my friends. It was a joyous moment, but you know, it was a good thing to go out on.
Watching it back last night with like the whole kind of campness affair surrounding Diane and then you, what was it like watching it back? Because obviously it was filmed some time ago.
Yeah.
Was it quite stressful, like, watching it back?
It's surreal because you kind of remember you remember the whole day, like, the final outcome, but you forget the actual conversations that I had. I mean, the one thing I realised that my facial expressions just pop up my face constantly. To see yourself back, to react to the way that you remember feeling is really interesting to see. It's one of those ones that you kind of, it's quite a heavy day though. Everyone kind of felt quite somber. Obviously, who likes to go to a funeral? You know, no one says me, you know, so it was quite a heavy day to remember. But yeah, fun to watch back. And like I said, I knew what the outcome was going to be. But it's nice to kind of see that, put a bit of heat at the end of the table.
Let's talk about the chalice, because I think that was the beginning of the end for your journey in Traitors. Because we've been saying for weeks that we think you were going to fly under the radar, because no one suspect you. You've been very cool, very calm in presence.
Yeah.
How do you regret arriving at the choice for you to be the one dishing out the chalice? If you could live your time again, who do you think you might have... to do that.
The thing is, it was difficult because my role has always been giving out drinks. So not just that day, the weeks leading up to it, that I'd get behind the bar between me and Charlotte, we'd start divvying out the drinks, you know, when there's a bar open, we'd be there, you know? So I kind of thought my name was going to be on the chopping block anyway, if people start looking into who was given a drink, who was given, you know, who had a drink off who, blah, blah, blah. And then I was trying to malign it in a way that I wanted to kind of take out. Me and Diane had already had a kind of discussion off camera that I would never want to be recruited. So, you know, I kind of thought, well, I was hoping if I was going to stay, I'd want to recruit and who I'd want to do that with. And trying to put a drink in a chalice and get some of the guys to have that just would have been too obvious. So it was kind of going with, normally I'm behind the bar. Normally, I'd give Diane a drink of rosé, and I normally drink rosé myself. So it's trying to get that the norms in there as well as the test.
Well, let's talk about the moment you walked very confidently into breakfast, having just murdered Diane, to see the woman you've just murdered sat in front of you.
To be honest, I thought I failed the challenge. I thought, oh no, like maybe we ran out of time, or maybe I gave her the wrong cup, or you know, had this situation. So I was a bit like, I'm not quite sure if you got the memo, but when someone gets murdered, you're not supposed to be at breakfast. So yeah, if you could just get out of your seat, babe, and help you to your car, I'll get you back. So my reaction that you see on my face is genuine, like, because I was one of the first of the traitors to go in as well, so I've not like got another traitor to kind of look at or to kind of get anything from. So I'm very much like, hi.
Well, you must have seen some of the memes made of your reaction.
It's more for the fact as well. I mean, I love Diane. I get along with her so well. So then to have to then sit across her
and go through a whole funeral.
Yeah, I go to a whole wear black, I put on a Dundon outfit, you know, walked in procession just for her funeral, which I knew the outcome and I was responsible for. I genuinely did struggle for on the day.
You must have had serious main character energy knowing I've killed her and I'm at her funeral.
Yeah.
But you didn't know then that Ross was at his own mom's funeral.
Exactly. So when you say main character, that was my inner Beyonce in the girl group moment, you know? But yeah, to then find out afterwards that, you know, this poor boy had to have a dummy room of his mum's funeral was really actually quite hard, you know, to kind of think about, oh, you know, you're responsible.
Yeah, I was thinking last night, I was like, this is a whole new level of trauma.
Yeah. I'll pay for his first, like, you know, his first therapy session, maybe.
Well, look, he might win the money, so he won't need anyone.
Exactly. Well, he might buy me a few drinks. But now, so it's very much a situation that you are conscious. Now you look back what happened and know what you know now. Gosh, you know, that must have been it was a hard day for me, but it must have been a hard day for him also, you know. So, yeah.
Fancy Another Pod with Bali Singh and Brett Harris, a Gaydio original podcast.
Oh, Destiny's Child. It's true, though. The amount of people that they're recruiting as traitors.
I know.
We've, like, what is it? Are we on the fifth traitor now?
Fifth traitor, and all men, as Claudia Winkleman beautifully pointed
Ash,
out.
Ash representing the girls, and she was first to be murdered.
God love her.
Oh, God.
God love her.
That's probably it now, isn't it, in the recruitment of the traitors?
Like, well, the let's hope one. So. I'm hearing rumours that next week's episodes are going to be absolutely mad. So if it's been completely bonkers to this point, so I don't know what's going to happen next week.
I can see it being completely mad, actually. And you know what's really weird? We watched Friday's episode in the way into that Claudia's kind of cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a shot of all of them stood outside. And I was like, where's the others? And I was like, oh, my God, this is it?
Yeah,
you were so close to the final now. There's only, what, eight of them left?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Mad. Shocking. So we now have the Paul's downfall that we need to talk about.
Oh, Paul Gorton. What
right.
a man.
So I'm going to be honest. I think there's a bit of panto around Paul, and I think it was a kind of love-to-hate situation. Like, he was so frustrating because he was playing it, I think, almost so well, and I think believed his own lies.
Yeah.
But when we met him in person earlier in the week, after he'd been banished from the Traitor's Castle, he is so charming.
I was going to say, you've got a bit of a crush, haven't you?
I have got a bit of a crush. Paul, if you're listening, I'm free on Thursday, darling.
I did
and it's
say...
my birthday. It is my birthday.
Oh, look, everyone take a sip of a drink every time Brett says bloody birthday.
But yeah, so he was absolutely lovely, really, really nice.
He's so charming, and I think everyone would have just fallen under that kind of spell.
And we did.
So you could, yeah,
and we did.
You could see why he lasted so long. But I mean, people are saying best traitor ever. He's definitely up there.
Definitely
up there.
Here's
and we chatted to him, and you could see why he's so charming.
Fresh from being banished, he's a murderer, he's a traitor, it's Paul, everyone!
Yay!
It wasn't me.
He is alive.
Oh, Paul, what an adventure. What an adventure.
Absolutely wild. It was wild being there and watching it back. It's more tense than it was when I was actually on the show. It's bonkers.
It's crazy. I think the wheels started to come off towards the end. Yeah. You were plotting and people were plotting against you. Describe how that was that last 24 hours.
Oh, my God. I was just deteriorating. I mean, every single day, the emotions were all coming out. I was breaking character and I thought, I think I might be done here. And then Harry, bless him, he actually did me a favour. He put me out of my misery. I was the old dog that was limping. My bowels have gone. And Harry was like, sorry about that. But, you know, I think Harry's seen it and he did me a favour, I think, at the end of the day.
I think, though, the round table before the one where you were banished with Miles, you looked exhausted. Like, those tears seemed genuine.
Yeah, of course they were. All my tears were genuine. I know, you know, the psycho that was in the room said I reshaped them and stuff. But, oh, my God, no, I was so upset. You know, I had a breakdown when I was in the dungeon. I felt really upset over my boy and everything that's going on. And it's so much pressure. And I'm trying to keep up this facade. I'm trying to be the guy that has no feelings. And I'm, you know, people taste like chocolate and all this type of stuff. And then, you know, as time went on, I can't keep it up. I'm done, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, let's talk about Harry and you bringing in Andrew as another traitor. Because I think was when your fate was kind of sealed. Did you suspect that Harry might have been plotting against you?
No. Do you know what? The whole time I had no idea about Harry. So I obviously made a blunder with the dungeon, but then bringing Andrew in would look like Ash and Andrew were the traitors. And I was thinking, whoa, this is going to repair me after, you know, especially getting Miles out at the same time. And then Andrew came in and he just looked like, you know, a crying mountain. And I was just like, oh my God, this is such a bad move. And I did literally, my brain's going wild anyway, but I watched him, I'm looking at Harry, and my brain's just going, I think your time's nearly up here, Paul. But I didn't see Harry doing that. Definitely didn't see it.
There's so much mind games to it.
I need to ask, why wasn't Jazz ever part of your, like, plan to get him in as a traitor? Because I just thought he would have been a fantastic traitor. And he was the one, obviously you didn't know.
Yeah.
But he was the one kind of gunning for you and kind of knew what was going on.
Yeah.
No. So I thought having him in as a traitor would be like the perfect kind of recipe.
It's such a great question. So Jazz was a pawn in our game almost. So Jazz is a faithful. He's got no backing. He comes at me, but no one else is joining in with him. So we need to keep faithfuls like that in the game because... The way that he's moving around and saying, oh, if I die tomorrow, then it's Paul, and or going having secret conversations, they look very traitory. That's kind of what Ash was doing. So he's also getting loads of attention on him, and it's going to break him. It was kind of breaking him as he was going. He voted for Andrew, and he was putting roses on Evie. He was doing all sorts of stuff because I think I lived in his head a little bit. But yeah, we didn't think to bring him in as a traitor because he was keeping everyone's attention out at the round table without actually getting a following. It was bonkers.
Well, let's talk about the funeral procession for our Di.
Oh, wonderful.
And, you know, it's surprising that I can look you in the eye, actually, after what you did for Diane.
It was all Miles. I had nothing to
it
do with it.
It was all Miles, it was. Yeah, Miles is the murderer.
Yeah, oh, Miles. What a terrible thing to do to your own mother.
So we obviously had the funeral procession, and at the very end, Diane obviously told you that,
yes,
about what Miles had done.
Yes.
Did you sniff out? You seem to be very good at sniffing out one little bit that you could exploit for your traitorism.
I think so, yeah. And I was working for me and Harry at that point, and I thought, you know, there's never going to be three traitors at the end. Like, I thought that just isn't in my brain. I genuinely thought me and Harry are going to go and win the show. And there was a moment there that I thought, oh my God, I could get Miles out here. I've, you know, defended Diane's honour, so I'm going to be loved inside of the castle for it, and I'll be a hero. And it kind of did feel like that when that was done. But then obviously Harry also had a moment where he thought, actually, I can get rid of Miles and I can get rid of Paul as well, and just, you know, try and go for the thing myself.
We need to talk about that, because you were the hero when Miles left. Harry was the hero,
yeah,
when you left. Is this the worst bunch of faithfuls ever? Because you and Harry got Ash out. You got Miles out. Harry got you out. I'm like, the faithfuls are cheering and clapping, but they've done F all.
Yeah, I mean, this is the show of traitor on traitor violence. I mean, it's a pandemic. It's really bad at the moment. But do you know what? I think, I don't know, it was... But me and Harry played this strategy, right, where we would only call people out for showing traitor behaviour. So when Ash was showing traitor behaviour, we had to call it out to keep control of the room, right? And then especially with Miles, he clearly gave Diane the drink. So, and Diane did say that to me, so I'm being a faithful there. If I was a faithful in the game, nothing in that moment would have changed, right?
I think that's exactly why you and Harry have played it so well. You're traitors, but you're not traitors. You're playing it as faithfuls.
We
and I
are
think that's
faithfuls.
What's... Yeah, there you go.
And you've got to play it that way. I mean, there's an inauguration after I went. Harry is now the president of the faithfuls, for God's sake, you know. But he has no suspicion on him. There was not one part of me that was going to throw Harry under the bus. I could have quite simply gone, oh, you know, well, that was this. And I, you know, brought him into the mix. And I thought, no, you've called me out. It was a great call out. You know, he battered me. You know, and I just thought, okay, well, I'm just going to take it. I'm going to wind some people up, maybe put some pressure on Jazz because he's been on me for 8 years. and then take my bow and then off I go. And I'm done.
That bow was BAFTA winning.
And I only did that because, I mean, you might have seen I got upset a few times and I was just starting to cry again. And I was like, well, I can't speak, so I need to do something. So I thought I'll do a little bow and then I'll wave at people. And the roar... And the volume that I heard was just out
Two
of this
face.
World. I know.
If you watch the clip back, there's a chair which just goes flying.
Jazz,
I'm like,
Jazz.
What happened?
I mean, that's Jazz. Just he had so much. He was so convinced. But then obviously he voted for Andrew. He said at the table, Miles is a faithful. So I think because he made a few like mistakes, that energy was just in him. And he was right. And you just seen that moment. And honestly, I also felt... elated because I felt like we've got a traitor. And watching it back, I'm going, We need to get him out of this
you
show.
You believe
how
in your own
here?
Lies. I think yeah. you need therapy, Paul. let's talk about if you were to stay then. So I think it could have gone one or two ways last night. It yeah. could have been you or Jazz. If Jazz had gone,
yeah.
how would you have doubled down? What would have been your next sort of move as a traitor?
Well, I think me and Harry needed to have a conversation. So we didn't really speak that day, which is really interesting. And that's when I had kind of a thought, ooh, like maybe there's going to be pressure on me here because Harry's distancing himself a little yeah. bit. Charlotte's obviously planted the seed, which didn't happen.
Yeah.
but bless her, it's so stressful and intense in there that you just can't, like the sentences do just form in different ways. Mm. So I don't think she had any malice there. Evie, on the other hand, what was that about? but the next step would have been to murder someone that would have been like a random, like someone unexpected. The idea is to keep, they say bad faithfuls, but it's to keep faithfuls in the game that don't really have a following, because at the end of the game, you need them to...
blindly follow the traitors.
To blindly follow the traitors in order for the traitors to win. So strong faithfuls need to be banished and need to go now, I think. But I think they'll throw a random one out there in order to keep the room guessing. But Harry's the king at the moment, right?
I need to ask as well. Obviously, Twitter and Instagram and everything, the memes are yeah. just... they're going off, and beautiful. You've been sharing some and you've been loving it.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
it like seeing social media? Because at the moment, you're the villain that everyone loves to hate.
Yeah.
What's it like seeing all the commentary?
Do you know what? At the start, I won't lie, I found it a little bit tough. Like, I'm watching things and I'm going, I think people didn't get me at the start and thought, oh my God, he's just a really bad person. And you're dying to comment back saying, oh guys, no, actually, I'm just doing this and doing that. But luckily, I think as the show went on, I went from being a villain to just this panto villain. You know, I'm like Jafar in Aladdin or something. You know, I'm the one that, oh, I've got to go and get him. So yeah, I think people learn to love to hate me. And, you know, I just wanted me out the show at that point anyway. How is Paul still here? How is he at breakfast with this big smile on his face? How are you not noticing?
Paul, I need to ask, if you were to live your time again at the Traitors, would you be a traitor again? Would you be a faithful? And who would you want to pick that wasn't a traitor as your traitor?
Oh my goodness. So I would be a traitor again, 100%. I'd bring Diane on board.
Yeah.
Diane was just an absolute beast. If I had my time all over again, there is nothing that I would have changed. I thought the murders were great when we did them. I think the vibe that we had within the room was perfect. I think, especially myself and Harry, I think we set up the game really right. And we had it in our brains that it's just a game and, you know, we're not actually killing these people. Otherwise, it would be problematic, right? So, you know, we're just sending them out of the room. So, yeah, I've got no regrets. I absolutely loved it. And Harry needs to go through and win for the traitors. Otherwise, I'll be furious at him.
I love Paul. I love you, Paul.
Bless him.
Paul!
Get into those DMs.
On last week's podcast, I thought it was going to be Jazz and Paul in the final. Mm. I now think it's going to be Andrew and Ross and one other faithful. And I think that faithful could be...
I hope it's Jasmine. I really do. I think Jasmine has done such a great job of playing. She's outspoken, but stayed under the radar. She's done it perfectly, balanced it so well. So I'd love to see Jasmine there. I think Jazz would be great as well. And I also think we're going to get someone like Molly.
Yeah, I think we could have like Molly and Evie. People that seem to have just... And I think that is the game of traitors, is to not be too... throwing too many accusations around. I think it is just you fly under the radar, just slightly throwing in a few yeah. names here and there.
If you're a faithful, that's the way to do it. You know what's really funny is the little VT shots of all the people like involved in the traitors, just in their hotel room doing a random hobby.
Sonia.
Sonia knitting. We had Andrew shirtless doing weights.
Mm.
We had Miles just reading a book.
Yeah.
And Charlotte, I think, is my favourite one, just having a bath.
Very me.
So I put on our socials, what would your random hobby be? Brett, what would yours be?
It'd probably be making curry noodles. Like, on a weekend, generally speaking, that I'll do that at least twice. That's my lunch.
Well, that's very funny because one of our Instagram followers, Kinky Hippo, said eating a pot who? Noodle in bed. I don't know who it is. Kinky Hippo. Shout out to you. Right, I'm going to read some of these responses. What's taxidermy?
Taxidermy is where you stuff a dead animal.
Oh! Shout out to Duran, who said that taxidermy is their random hobby.
Oh.
Reese Lee said, prop scoffing my face. I think that would be me.
Yeah.
I think for me, I'd be in bed watching my iPad, covered in crisps. Gaydia presenter.
Each to their own.
Gaydia presenter Beck said, cooking crystal meth. Oh, right.
Oh, I don't mind going to HR about that. I'm a little bit concerned.
And Boo said, me in the kitchen with a saucy spatula. All right.
Oh.
A lot of people are cooking in their random VTs.
Some strange activities going on there.
This would probably be me, actually. Josh Reed said, me on my laptop with Photoshop open, making silly reaction memes. That would definitely be me.
I like that.
And Ali said, doom scrolling on TikTok.
Yeah, respect.
But my favourite response came from Traitor's very own Brian. And we never got to see this, but he was topless reading an old book by candlelight.
What?
Yep.
We were robbed.
Look.
I might just DM him.
I have.
Wow.
I'm trying to persuade him to get it recreated. Look, just for research purposes.
Oh, yeah.
So if everyone wants to apply the pressure, you know what to do, darlings.
Block you on Instagram. make sure you follow us on your socials, Fantasy Another Pod, and follow us wherever you get your podcasts or on the free Gaydio app. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Fancy Another Pod with Bally Singh and Brett Harris. A Gaydio original podcast.
Oh, darling. Time to say goodbye.
Why has my screen gone black? Okay. Okay.